Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Dave Schluter, where did you go to college, by the way, my friend?
My bachelor is actually from Trinity College up in Deerfield, but I did a stint at U of I for a couple of years and also did a stint at 820 North LaSalle and Moody Bible Institute before I went to law school.
And where'd you go to law school?
Loyola, right at State and Pearson.
Nice. You were down at U of I Champaign?
Yeah, 77 to 79. And then I had a situation with a scholarship that was kind of up and down and ended up heading up to the Moody days because that was tuition free. So
good for you. And look at you now. You do estate planning. You do real estate law. That's where you and I met through David Hochberg, of course. So you're on Home Sweet Home Chicago a lot. And let's talk a little bit about this interesting new real estate contract form. Is this a new form that's causing some deadline issues for people?
Yes, it's called the Multi-Board 8.0 because it's the eighth iteration of the contract. It gets put together by a group of attorneys and realtors and realtor associations and bar associations to try to come up with a workable tool that it still needs to be crafted to meet a particular deal. But it came out recently, and I just want to say that this market, this is my 39th year of handling purchases and sales, John. This market, going back to, I would say, March, is out of control with sellers having hand because of the low inventory. The average buyer is being shown 7 or 8 properties before they secure one, and they're also making 4 or 5 contracts in writing.
Whoa.
And getting knocked out on every deal. So
the inventory just keeps really on getting tighter and tighter as time goes on?
Yeah, it's unprecedented. I've been talking to my colleagues. What happens to us as attorneys is we are often asked, now, I was told I'm not supposed to get cute with my contract, but Dave, in light of your experience, I still have some concerns about what I signed or whatever, and I have to say, please stop. There will be multiple offers behind you that if you get cute in the negotiations after you already made a deal, for example, we have a section called As Is. It's been rewritten, and what it does is let sellers know if they have 3 offers and they decide to take the one it's a little bit lower, but it's as is. They feel like their home is sold, and they can clink their glasses and say, at least we won't hear about any defects. And that language, which is new, states all the items that are not considered a tool to renegotiate. Minor repairs, maintenance items, painting, decorating, cosmetic nature, no matter what the cost is. So there's a $10,000 cosmetic issue, not part of the inspection, and it shall not be a basis to write a letter of things outside the parameters. It's like going back to school for the lawyers.
Yeah.
If a letter gets written,
put this in layman's terms. I'm confused.
Yeah.
Sorry, let me stop you.
Yeah.
Put that in layman's terms. What's going on?
You're told when you sell that if you take an as-is deal, there's all kinds of ground rules now that you can't renegotiate and pretend you didn't do an as-is deal. So it's very important. I want to have all the buyers hear this and all the buyers' agents. If a letter gets written in violation of these ground rules that it took the team a long time to come up with, in other words, people for years, John, have told you, you go to sell your place, and it's $495, and then a guy comes in at $485, and they say, but I'll take it as is. A game has been played for years of, well, we'll just put them over a barrel, and they'll see how they like it, and then they go and ask things. So the brokers and the lawyers got together and gave a list of all the things that are not fair game, including these items. And if you write a letter as a buyer's attorney in violation, it's subject to a free cancellation by the seller. And now you're back on looking again. So you get your money back, but that's a hand grenade that's in there. And it's something that I'm having on a daily basis, talk buyers off the ledge who were told something different, either from a parent or their neighbor or their uncle who said, nobody cares about that as-is language. Go ahead and ask. Well, that doesn't count anymore as good advice because they're about to be looking at their 9th house now. Seller has total legal and moral clarity to kick it to the curb and go with the 12th offer they got. So it's nonstop. you have to really be concentrating. But
for sure. Let's put a pin right here. We got another segment coming up. 6:46. So yeah. That's Dave Schluter, WGNattorney.com. Dave Schluter. Ooh, I'm winded from talking about that. I'm excited about redo cabinets, Dave. Okay. I want to start from the beginning here for our listeners. There's a form that is fairly new in your business that clarifies the quote-unquote as-is language. Meaning, if I'm going to buy a house as-is, a lot of people think the conventional wisdom was like, hey, offer $10,000 less, do as-is. That'll get me the offer, the check mark, because the seller's like, oh, I'll take the as-is offer. But you can go ahead and ask for things later, and it all works itself out. What you're saying is, buyer beware. There's new language that kind of delineates what could kill a deal by you asking for something when you already said it would be as is. Am I understanding that now?
You couldn't have said it better. And again, in the day, it might have been a manipulation to try to get something that you didn't agree to do. You kind of welch on the seller. But with this new language, and all my colleagues agree, that we have to have emails from our client. If they insist that we be aggressive or whatever, we have to get an email that says, I'm directing you to do this, even though I know I might get knocked out of the deal. And then sometimes people will call their dad or somebody else and say, don't do that. There's no other houses. But some other ones, John, that I wanted to mention about, we have a deadline of earnest money. People used to play games and say, I know I said I'll give it in 3 days that it says in the contract. Right now there's a blank, but I'm looking at one right now that says 4 days. They would play games with that and say, well, you know, I haven't really got the inspection back. No. Your earnest money gets paid. You'll still get it back. Don't play games on that. Get it to the listing office. They may be rubbing their hands together saying, I hope Bill doesn't get that in on time because we got an offer for 10 grand right. more 10 minutes after they signed. So there's no coming back. If you blow that date, the attorney can say, sorry, you might have met well, but you're out. And it seems very unfair, but the rules are really tightened up because of this hand that the sellers have, where they can keep, you know, getting offers. And another, a financing deadline. A lot of people shop. Hochberg talks about this all the time. There's a deadline in the contract that you agree to, and that's a fixed deadline. And if you wait around, don't pay for the appraisal, shop rates every day in the newspaper and play it off and try to play two lenders, if that day comes and goes and you don't produce that, again, the seller can say, I'm gonna go with somebody who takes the deal serious. And there's things about a party causing delay in the financing, they'll not have the right to terminate under the usual rules. Meaning, if they find out of whether there's emails or conversations where the mortgage guy goes, look, I don't really know these people this well, but I just want to tell you, I've been calling them every night at 5:30 and said, give me your credit card for the appraisal. Well, we're still shopping. If that comes out in the wash, again, the earnest money can be in jeopardy. It's all self-inflicted.
Right.
So the warning, again, to buyers and brokers is it's a new day of being super careful because if, in fact, they lose that deal, they might have a job requirement where they have to be in a certain town.
Oh, yeah.
They may need to go take care of a loved one. The inventory is so low right now that they really are not going to be guaranteed to find something else in time to meet their needs.
Yeah, so or the hassle that you've already emotionally moved on to this new house and to find out you're not.
Yeah.
What you're saying is if you have a contract as a buyer with any house right now and you like it, treat that contract like gold. Treat that contract with the respect that it probably always deserves, but even more so right now because the inventory is so low that a seller might be looking for you to make a mistake and capitalize on it because they've already heard of an offer that's 10 or 20 grand more that they can't accept because they already accepted yours. They're going to be looking for something to kill that deal.
Some of the lawyers who have been around the block like me, if we have some geniality between each other, if there's a phone call that's made and it happens every day into my office and I'm making the call, listen, if I was to try to mess around, Bill, on this one, and he'll say, Dave, unless you want to be to the curb, I'm under strict instructions to hold your people, or you know, we'll let you out. If you want to get out, that's fine. But you're not, they've already discussed with their seller. If someone starts doing these compromises because they've gotten bad advice, they say, go ahead and tell the attorney not to do it. It's in the best interest of my buyers to go ahead and make that call because some people say, you know what, the family's really not in a big hurry. You know, they'll consider. I need a letter from them, for example, that would say, "Dear Dave, I know your buyer went as is, but we're willing to tolerate free requests," or something like that.
Yeah.
And we work that out as the lawyers. But again, no one gets paid in real estate until the closing.
Exactly.
So, you know, the buyer's agents don't get it. Those deals fall apart. The listing agent, also known as the seller's agent, which is kind of interesting, but those people still have the listing. So if a hand grenade blows up the deal, they're still got the listing.
Right,
but your
right.
buyer's agents, who maybe had a very slow year, are now really out that income because their buyer doesn't cooperate, and they may not be interested. I had a broker the other day say, "I'm done. It's the third time these people have been unreasonable.
Oh, yeah, no.
I really can't take any more time with these people because they just don't get it."
I'm losing money at that point for my job. Dave, right. I got to go, but thank you. This is important information out there, and important information for sellers, too, to be hawks. If you get an offer that's higher than the one that you got, hey, be a hawk. Look around on that contract.
Yeah, not bad faith, though. No bad faith, but if
No. Just if you got a better offer and then they miss deadlines, boom. There you go. Dave doesn't pay me to say this, but he's a super nice guy, and I used him, and he's super nice. So if you got a real estate deal, Dave Schluter's the guy to go to. WGNattorney.com, 630-285-5300, 630-285-5300, WGNattorney.com. Take care, Dave. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thank you, John.